Welcome to the B-side of Going Beyond the Bedroom. I'm your host, Natalie, and this space is where we take the conversation a little bit deeper, or sometimes a little quieter. Today's episode is a more intimate offering. It's less structured, more personal, but always grounded in truth. Just a reminder, this is not a substitute for professional therapy. So if something you hear today resonates deeply or stirs something tender, please reach out. Whether it's to me or another therapist in your area, you deserve support that holds you fully. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me on my sofa. Well, on my armchairs.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Why don't you start by telling our lovely listeners, maybe viewers, how you know me?
I'm Chris, and I met Natalie through church. But we then found out she'd actually lived across the road from me for 12 years, and I'd never seen her. So, yes, we're neighbours as well as friends.
Brilliant. Okay. So I've kind of strong-armed you-ish into coming and talking to me about love and relationships because I thought that you'd have some wisdom for us,
probably.
Especially on life after losing a loved one.
Yes, yes. I can't do many other relationships, having known my husband since I was 16. So I'd known him for 6 years before we got married. And I was married for 39 years before he died. And that comes hard because he was really the only boyfriend to start with that I'd ever had of any substance. And went through life and two children with him.
So it must have been really challenging when you lost him. But before we go there, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you first met?
We met at a youth club. When I was probably 15 and he would have been 17. And I thought he was the most amazing person going. And as I had to walk past his front door to get to mine, I always used to make sure I left when he did. Not that he really took any notice of me. And then I think I stopped going to the youth club, or he did, I can't remember now. But I was then invited to an 18th birthday party. It was a long journey by bus to get from where I lived to where the party was. And I went with a friend. And I walked into the hall and there was this wonderful person that I used to think was adorable sitting at the side. And he had started work and had met up with my friend's then boyfriend. And so I came home with him.
A song that came to mind was Reunited and It Feels So Good. Yeah. You know that one?
Yeah. But no, so because he had a car, he brought me home and the rest was history.
The rest was history. I love that. It's a lovely story. And some of it I know, but I'm sure maybe today I'll find out some things I don't know.
But he also lived in a house that my great-grandfather built.
That's really good. And I think I did remember that detail from before. You see, Chris and I are friends. I'm kind of cheating. If you haven't noticed, there's a theme here. All of the people that have been on my B-side so far are friends. And I think who better to share life with and who better to share wisdom with? And you've given me a lot over the few years, couple years that we've known each other. Tell me your fondest memory of Tony. If you can figure out one.
The first birthday card he bought me when I was then 17, he actually wrote in it to my sweet 17. And that was rather special. I've still got the card up in a cupboard. What else? I can also remember when Elizabeth was born, him walking round the house with her head in his hand, walking around saying, and this is where you're going to sleep, and this is the garden you're going to play in, and those little bits. That was something rather nice. I don't know. There's so many things that we could, we can do. I can remember him telling me what was my 40th birthday coming up. It was about a week before, and he suddenly said, you need to get a case packed. We're going on holiday next weekend. Oh, what about the children? Sorted that. Your mum and dad are coming. Well, where are we going? I'm not telling you. And I said, well, how do I know what to pack? Just pack clothes for a holiday. And I whittled him down and whittled him down. And in the end, I got it was somewhere warm. I needed summer clothes because it was April. But he actually told me at the airport where we were going. And we went to Fuerteventura for a week for my 40th birthday.
Sounds like a truly special man.
He was. Very special.
I'm going to ask you a hard question now. Mm. And I don't mean to be horrible, but how do you manage after losing a special man?
You live on the memories. You live on the things that you decided together.
Mm.
The visions that you'd had. It's like, as you know, like my where I want to travel and my bracelet. We decided a bucket list of where we were going to go when we retired. And I'm gradually trying to tick them off.
Mm.
And everywhere I go, I buy a Pandora charm that goes on the bracelet.
Other charms are available.
Yes. but no, that's, and that all goes on to that one bracelet. There are times when you think, well, why didn't you ever tell me that?
Mm.
Why didn't we do that differently? Mm. Why didn't we do that? But you don't, because you live in the today, not in the future. You think of what's going on today. He died of cancer. He had cancer many years beforehand, and he come through it, and as far as we knew, that was the end of it. And when this all came back, the consultant said it was treatable. I took that as we can keep it at bay, but he took it as we will cure it.
Mm.
And that didn't happen. So really, I'd lived for 2.5, almost 3 years, waiting for the inevitable.
Mm.
And when he was really ill and he couldn't walk and he was in the study, bedroom in the study, it came a point when I used to come down every morning. Coming down the stairs, I would say, please God, have taken him in the night.
Mm. Do you want me to pause?
No, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, but I felt mean for doing it.
Mm.
But that's what I wanted.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's so much love that we don't actually ever think about the hard part of love that says, I don't want this person to suffer and I don't want to lose them.
That's right.
And it's a sort of a selfish, selfless love because you want to keep them, but you want to let them go and honor them. I don't even know how you learn that. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just what happens. And it's that knowing. You had a baby monitor in the bedroom and in his bedroom, because that way I heard if he wanted me, if he called, if he fell, I could hear all of that. And again, it felt like I was treating him like a baby, but I wasn't, because he would still make it very clear what he did and didn't want, when he didn't want it. And he got frustrated because he couldn't do the things he wanted to do. When he couldn't walk, he couldn't just go out on his own. So we bought the electric scooter with the personal independence payments, which they're trying to take away now, aren't they? But and he wouldn't touch it because he said, no, that was a mistake. They're going to ask for that back, so we can't touch it. But he did agree in the end I could use it just for that. Which gave him a bit more
independence,
but he couldn't go out on his own because if the battery had run out, used to have to take the spare one. And actually physically getting him out through the door was hard because we had to have the porch floor built up.
Mm.
We had to have a ramp put outside, and it wouldn't take the electric wheelchair that we ended up having because it wouldn't take the weight of it.
Mm.
So in actual fact, he got stuck indoors
A lot more than he was able to go out.
Yeah.
And so you learnt over 2 years or more how to manage this delicate, difficult balance of having him but losing him and knowing that there will come a point in time where you really didn't
That's right.
Did you have moments of anger? And do you still?
Lots. Because it was so unfair. You know, how could he? I think because he used to associate cancer with smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd never smoked. He'd always tried to keep fit. He played golf. He played cricket when he was younger. Played football when he was younger. Not that he was very good at it by his own admission, but that's what he did. And you thought, why take him? Why, when there's so many people out there that don't care and they, you know, do everything in the wrong manner, why take him? So that was anger. I think anger after he died, you know, will sort of, you know, this isn't fair. I've now got to do this on my own. But I think the worst bit, I got angry with myself because I couldn't actually do any more for him. All I could do was give him the medication when he needed it. When the first time when he had cancer, and he used to be really sick, and I used to get up and I'd clear it up and I'd go back and eat my dinner. And people always used to say, well, how could you do that?
And the mother in you.
But in, even to this very day, I can clear sick up. I can't deal with blood. You know, so, but I think that's what happened because I had to do it. And this is it, you have to do it. And I think anger comes because you think, I shouldn't have to be doing this on my own. But on the other hand, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change what we had. Wouldn't change what I did. The day he died, I cried. But nothing. I think because I'd had so long to get used to it. And I knew sort of 6 months before he died that, well, they told me he got 6 weeks and he lasted 6 months. But it was 2 days later when I just broke, standing in the shower. but Liz and Rob were there. They'd stayed there. And I was angry for Richard because Richard was in Canada. And we couldn't get him back. We couldn't get him back quick enough because they said, oh, yes, we can get him back. There'll be plenty of time. But when you get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning,
there is no time.
There is no time. And I couldn't even let him know because of the time difference. By the time he was up, he'd passed away 3 or 4 hours beforehand.
And it's difficult, I suppose, even more difficult when you have children, even though they're adult children, because you had a grandson then. And you're also angry for them, as you said, all of the things that dad will miss. Richard's wedding. The birth of Ella.
All of those things that you mean, that's what makes you angry. You know, well, why? But God took him where he needed to be.
And I had a similar conversation with Sam and Trevor yesterday, and Sam was talking about her sadness now. It isn't her sadness, it's the sadness for the things that Alan's missed. And I suppose it's a similar thing for you, the things that he's missed, seeing Ella born, seeing Richard and Priya get married. And I know I'm mentioning names that you guys don't know, but we do have a friendship, so I know a little bit about this. If you could tell yourself anything from that time, what would you say? It's a weird question, I know.
Don't waste any time. Make the most of everything you do and how you do it. It doesn't matter if it's just a day trip out somewhere. Make the most of it. It's memories. If you don't make them then, you haven't got them to take with you.
I can really resonate with that because you shared so many memories of you and Tony with me. And I've been to some of the places where you and Tony have been together. And I, although I never met him, I feel like I know him in so many ways. And I wish I could go back in time and see the two of you together. But I've still got my husband, thankfully. And it's something that I often worried about in the early days of our relationship, about not having memories. And suddenly time creeps up on you, and we've been together 15 years, and you realize how important the memories are.
Yeah.
Actually, you once gave me a little plaque that spoke about memories. And I'm glad that you brought it up, because I think this is something that we don't do in relationships, and something that makes breakups or losses harder. Because what do you do with those memories? Do you file them away and lock them away because it's too painful? Or do you live them every day because it's better? And how do you juggle the difference between remembering the things and then remembering the loss?
It is hard, because when you're making the memories, you don't realize how important they're going to be. But it's when you go somewhere that you've been together and you do it on your own, the memories come back, but you know you're adding to them.
Yes.
It is strange, but I don't want to share it now. I want to go on with me. I'm me. I'm not a part of a partnership. And I've said to you before, there is absolutely no way I can bring myself to enter another relationship, because I've nursed somebody through a horrendous illness twice, to a certain extent, in addition with my parents, both having had dementia, and Tony towards the end had dementia, but that was different. It wasn't, that was just the way the cancer had spread and spread to the lining of the brain. But I can't go through that again. And I've got my children, I've got my grandchildren, and that's enough for me. And I don't intend to ever put myself in that position again of having to look after somebody that's ill. Okay, somebody perhaps would have to look after me. But I've got a family and I've got friends. And I've got a cousin who's in the same position, and he does look after me in a different way.
I wish David was here, because he'd give us a different perspective. We'd have a male voice on the matter.
Yeah, he would give you an entirely different...
Maybe we'll have to do it again. If he decides. He'll have to cook for us, though.
Yeah.
That would be the only way that we'd do it, is if he cooked for us. But that's interesting, and because I know you and I love you, and I know how much life and love you have, sometimes I wonder... So sometimes I guess I wish that you had someone that could be with you. But I've also seen how happy you are on your own. Has this taught you anything about yourself?
Yeah, because it's how my parents brought me up. I was an only child because my dad was very ill from a very young age. I think from about the age of 25. And they brought me up to be independent. It was a case of, people used to criticise my mum for making me independent. But I don't think you can ever make a child too independent. And a lot of those skills that I was given, like my dad showed me how to wire a plug, change a fuse, all those things, I have to do now. And I do. There's lots of things I think, well, I don't need a man to do that. I can do it.
What would you say to my fellow therapist who might be listening and thinking, ah, I can see a childhood pattern here. Mum taught her how to be independent. Dad is ill from a very young age. And now she's chosen to be on her own. What would you say to them?
Well, I think the cynical you've got beginner. To take everybody as an individual. And what suits me doesn't suit everybody. A lot of people can't deal with being on their own. So don't think, as a therapist, that you're going to change their view. Somebody that desperately needs to have that person beside them through the remainder of their life, if that's how they feel, run with it. Don't try and change them. In the same way, somebody, you know, sort of that knows where they're going and knows they can cope and everything else, again, it's the same. You can't talk them into being what they're not.
If you could give someone who's losing or lost their partner one bit of advice, what would you say?
Cherish them. Cherish them as they are. Cherish them as they were. try and make every last moment a valuable one.
Mm.
And trust in God.
Have you got any questions for me? Or advice for me?
Well, you've got to cherish your husband. Because again, you don't know what's around the corner. Yeah. You don't know. I said once, you don't know what will happen. You could get knocked over by a bus tomorrow. And you could lose him when you don't expect to. In the same ways, he could lose you when he doesn't expect to. And you've both lost out in the past. So just cherish what you've got. Don't waste time thinking, oh, we can't do that, or we shouldn't do that, or I don't think that's for us. If one of you's got an inkling to do something, we went to South Africa and I didn't want to go. All the things I'd heard about South Africa, but I went because he wanted to go. And I enjoyed it. It frightened me at times, but I enjoyed it. In the same way, when we were working out what we wanted to do, he'd always wanted to go through the Panama Canal. I'd always wanted to go on a cruise, big cruise ship. So we combined the two. So you've got, it's give and take. It's not, this is my relationship. When you're married, it's
our relationship.
Yeah, it's the two of you, and you've got to give and take as it comes. You know, no, you do things that, do I have to? But you do them, and that's those memories. I can think of lots of things that I did over the years thinking, oh, do I really have to? But you do it because that's what it is, you know, in sickness and health.
I know you spoke about losing Tony and all of the hard work and not wanting to go through that again, but that was your purpose. You said, you know, I'm angry about why I couldn't do more for him. Why didn't I? And I know you don't mean it in that way.
Yeah.
But in a way, you served a massive purpose and still do for Tony. You know, people are never really lost as long as we remember them, even though they're not with us.
No, they're there. They're there.
And I know, you know, Tony is really with you. And and you've been able to tell Tomanello all about him. I've known Tony through you, although I never met him.
No.
And so that's been your purpose in Tony's life and in your life. And I guess in my life. And yeah, I think this work is a very purposeful work. Thank you so much for talking to me and for asking me such thoughtful questions that I hadn't thought about.
If today's B-side touched something in you, I'd love for you to share it with someone who might need to hear it too. You can follow me on social media at LTAS Therapy for more behind-the-scenes reflections and for space to continue the conversations we begin here. Because the best conversations are the ones that we actually have. And of course, if you haven't yet, subscribe to Going Beyond the Bedroom so you don't miss the next full episode or B-side drop. Until next time, be kind to yourself. And as always, dare to go beyond the bedroom.